How the tax plan will shift whole markets, even patterns of daily life. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. With the Republican tax overhaul set to pass in the House of Representatives today and the Senate tomorrow, we begin our coverage today with a broad shift when it comes to taxes paid by individuals and families. Under this plan, loads more people will do the default standard deduction on their tax forms, and many fewer will opt to itemize line-by-line deductions, as they do now. That could have a major impact on one key engine of the U.S. economy, the real estate market, as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Doubling the standard deduction could have the biggest impact on housing. According to an analysis by Zillow, only the wealthiest 14% of homeowners would likely itemize and use the mortgage deduction to reduce their income taxes. For most homeowners, it just wouldn't be worth it anymore, says Christopher Mayer at Columbia Business School.
I think this is going to reduce homeownership among younger households.
Another tax change would hit high-priced markets like New York and San Francisco. Mortgage interest paid on home loan debt above $750,000 would no longer be deductible. Right now, the upper cap is $1 million. Guy Sakala is publisher of Inside Mortgage Finance.
This is mostly an issue on the two coasts. In most parts of the country where the average home price is $300,000, it's a non-issue.
Sakala says new limits on deducting state and local taxes would likely make houses in high-tax places more expensive to own and harder to sell. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Now to another piece of this vast tax bill that hasn't got much attention. What happens to people who commute to work? Many employers now help pay for parking or public transit for their people to get to work. But under this bill, the tax incentive that drives this perk will disappear. Marketplace's Erica Barris has more on that.
Now, private companies can provide parking or transit passes worth up to $255 a month to subsidize their employees' commuting expenses and then deduct that cost from their own taxes. Lily Batchelder, professor of law and public policy at New York University, says the elimination of that deduction also eliminates the incentive.
Often employers offer these benefits just because they're tax subsidized, and once the tax subsidy's gone away.
She says employees could end up paying more to get to work, and with a lower corporate tax rate, businesses won't need these smaller deductions.
I think over time you are going to see workers losing out in the form of they're going to get less transportation benefits from their employer.
And this worries transit agencies. Chris Gutierrez with the Southern California Regional Rail Authority says 5,000 tickets a month are sold through corporate programs. And losing the benefit may also mean...
essentially, you're going to put more cars back on the road. You're going to increase pollution with those cars.
And that $20 a month given to bike commuters also goes away. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
Let us do the numbers. The 100 share index in London, the FTSE, is up 11 points, about 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up this morning, plus 0.1% for the S&P future. 10-year Treasury yield flat at 2.39%. And for round number lovers, Warren Buffett's big stock just passed the $300,000 mark. A single Berkshire A stock got to $300,300 yesterday, up 1%. It'll open near $299,360 this morning if you'd like a stock that costs more than a pretty nice house. As a nonprofit organization, Marketplace is on a mission that drives what we do every day, to increase economic intelligence across the country. We believe it's important work, which we're already doing, and right now would be a great time for you to help. When you donate to support Marketplace today, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. Listeners like you who give to Marketplace do more than help keep the show on the air. You help us grow and get better. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you can trust, and the payoff comes with what you hear every day. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Give today at marketplace.org. And thank you. As the year draws to a close here, we've been taking a moment to examine some important but underreported stories on the Marketplace beat. Here's one. It's from our reporter Amy Scott at the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore. Hi, Amy.
Hi, David.
So you want to talk about recess?
Yes, school recess. Do you remember how much time you had in school to go outside and play in the dirt?
I wasn't timing. I know it was actually mud because I'm from the state of Maine. But yeah, there was recess.
Well, in my school in the 80s, we had 15 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes for lunch. But today, some kids have just a few minutes a day if they get recess at all. In other districts, kids might have recess just a few times a week. So recess, as you and I may have known it, is kind of a vanishing thing.
All right, so less time for blowing off steam, running around. Why?
Well, as you know, we've been in an era of increased accountability for schools, more emphasis on standardized tests. They often see more value in increased instruction and test prep time. But there's actually a lot of evidence that recess itself can boost academics. I talked with Stephanie Garst, who is executive director of the U.S. Play Coalition at Clemson University. And she says there's actually a business argument for recess.
Research shows that unstructured play helps children with their social skills, their academic skills, and all of those 21st century skills that employers are looking for, like collaboration, communication, critical thinking, creativity. All those things come out on the playground.
But, you know, gym class is still there, PE in most schools, right?
Yeah, most kids get PE a couple times a week, but it's really the unstructured, child-led part of play that many experts say is so important. And some states are actually pushing back on this decline. In the past couple of years, Florida and Rhode Island have passed new laws requiring at least 20 minutes of free play every school day. There's been an experiment in Texas where some schools are requiring their kindergartners and first graders to get out for recess four times a day for 15 minutes each. And Garst told me, at first, teachers were really worried about losing class time for instruction.
But what they immediately started to notice is that the kids are less fidgety and less distracted, and a whole lot less discipline issues.
And David, there are some workplace applications here, too. Garst says grown-ups need this time. And, you know, I'm thinking maybe we should have a marketplace game of Foursquare or something.
Hopscotch, marbles, I don't know. I'll rest when I'm dead. Our Amy Scott at the Marketplace Education Desk in Baltimore. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. It's from APM, American Public Media.